If your life is perfect and you have zero need to improve anything, this episode is not for you. But if you know that you need to make a change, but you're overwhelmed and you have no idea where to begin, I've got you, sis. Please know that you're not alone in this. I talk to a lot of women who are not satisfied with their lives currently, and they want to make a change, but they have no idea how to make it happen. Well, I want to break this process down for you and simplify it so that you can experience a better life with Jesus. So today I'm going to share the five questions that I have learned to ask myself and prayerfully answer that guide my pursuit of making positive changes. So grab your Bible, grab your podcast notebook, and a pen because we are going to talk about it. Are you tired of feeling like you never measure up? Are you tired of setting goals but giving up on yourself before you ever cross the finish line? Are you ready to live a life that you actually enjoy? Oh girl, you're in the right place. Are you ready to experience confidence like you never have before? You are in the right place. God made you powerful and capable. And if you struggle to see yourself that way, I believe it's because your self-image has become distorted. My name is Tina Feemster. I'm a trained and certified Christian self-image coach, and God has placed a call on my heart to reach Christian women who struggle with how they see themselves. When you learn the truth about who you are in Him and who He is in you, your whole life will be renewed and improved in a way that only God can orchestrate. I'm going to help you discover the incredible way that God put you together. Settle in, sis, and get cozy. We're going to talk about it. Okay, so the very awareness that you need to make a change in some area of your life is the beginning of change. So congratulations. I mean, just with that awareness, you are already moving in the right direction. So that's really good. Unfortunately, there are a lot of Christian women out there who've just kind of settled into an existence and going with the flow. They're not paying attention. They're not self-aware. And instead of experiencing the full potential that God has gifted them with, they just kind of settled in. They're settling for that life they have. And even though they dream of something better, they've just kind of resigned themselves to the fact that this is the life I live. This is what it is. Well, you being aware that you need to make a change is fantastic because that's the beginning of it all. So congratulations. I'm proud of you for that. But we have to go from this dreaming of a better life and get ourselves into action. We have to actually do something. Dreaming is for sleepers. As a kid, I learned that the one who was sleeping and dreaming is not the one in control. The one that is taking action is the one that's in control. Let me tell you this story about, I think it was my 11th birthday party. My mom allowed me to have a sleepover, so I had girlfriends over, and it was during this birthday party that I learned that being awake and in action is better than being asleep and dreaming. So let me tell you about it. Well, my daddy built my siblings and I a playhouse, and we loved this little playhouse. We were in it all the time. It looked like a modern day tiny house, only it was a tiny, tiny tiny house. So it's not very big, but it had a real door. It had real windows. It had a real roof, real siding. It was just so cool. So I had this handful of girlfriends over for my birthday. They're sleeping over, and they decided, we all got to talking about it, and we decided we didn't want to stay in the house. Like, we asked my parents if we could sleep and spend the night in the backyard playhouse. And they allowed us to. And I don't really know who came up with the idea somewhere late in the night when my parents weren't around. But one of us came up with the idea that we were going to grab ketchup and mustard from the kitchen for a prank on our friend that had fallen asleep. So she was the very first one to fall asleep. And you know, me and these ornery other little girls decided that we were going to play this prank. So we got the ketchup, we got the mustard, and I don't even remember who did it, but one of us filled the girl's hand with a mixture of both of those condiments and reached up and tickled her nose. Now, I don't have to tell you what happened after that. She wasn't mad, but I'm sure she wasn't very happy with this. She played along, but no one wanted to fall asleep after that because sleeping, listen to me, sleeping made you vulnerable. And I want you to get that little bit of a nugget there. If you are just dreaming about your life being better and you're not doing anything to make it better, that's sleeping, y'all. You're asleep. Only sleepers can dream. So I want you to wake up. I want you to take control of your life so that the enemy doesn't catch you while you're sleeping and put mustard in your hand and tickle your nose with a feather. Because if he's the one in control and you aren't, he's going to be having fun at your expense. So wake up, sis, wake up. Are you living your life to its full potential? Just think about it. Like, what area or areas of your life do you want to improve? What do you want to be better, say, like in the next 30 days or the next 90 days? Like, what could you make better in your life that you're not making better right now? Do you have a plan or a strategy to make that happen? I know that with God and a really good plan, you can live out the amazing life that He has designed for you. So, dreaming of a better life is for sleepers. You need a plan of action. And there is this passage of scripture in Proverbs chapter 24 that I read way back when the Lord really opened up my heart to the power of the word. And I got really hungry to read the scripture. I came across this particular passage, and that has been 30 years ago, and this scripture has just stuck in my heart, this passage of scripture. So I want to read it to you. So it's in Proverbs 24, and it is verses 30 through 34. It says, I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man lacking understanding and common sense. And behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. And nettles were covering its surface, and its stone wall was broken down. And when I saw it, I considered it well. I looked, and I received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest and dream, and your poverty will come on you as a robber, and your wants like an armed man. This passage of scripture has so much in it. If you could take your Bible and just look at this passage of scripture and think about it, think about those thorns, think about the nettles, a weed that's overgrowing it. Think about the life, or the wall rather, that is broken down around the vineyard. Just think about how it's exposed and it's not protected. What area of your life has a broken down wall? What area of your life is overgrown with weeds? What's gotten in there that shouldn't be in there? Where has poverty taken over? Where are you lacking? Is it your health or your finances? Maybe a relationship, your relationship with Jesus, or maybe your relationship with a loved one. Where has that poverty, that lack, taken over and choked out the abundance your Heavenly Father wants you to enjoy? Just spend some time thinking about that. Back in the day when I had such a poor self-image, the things that popped out to me here in this particular passage of scripture was the lazy man, the lazy, you're lazy, you're lazy. And it just kept rolling over and I was really condemning myself. So don't do that. Don't focus on the lazy. Focus on the condition of the vineyard and think about the condition of your life. Take out of that what God is trying to show you here, that there is a protective measure that you can bring into your life that keeps you from being robbed from, that keeps lack and poverty from getting in. So, and not, I'm not talking about just in terms of finances, but you think about poverty and relationship and peace and that kind of thing too. So let God take you where you need to go in that particular scripture passage. Okay, so I love analogies, and I want to use one here just to help me make a point. But imagine your life is like a car, and you are the driver. So your life is the vehicle that gets you where you want to go, but you're driving it, right? I love this analogy because it just helps me to visualize how some people, they are just sitting still. Their life is going absolutely nowhere, and deterioration is setting in. Imagine a car being out in the middle of a field and the weeds are just growing up around it. Think about what's happening to the tires and think about what's happening to the engine and think it's deteriorating and there are no improvements happening at all. It isn't going anywhere. The car is not fulfilling its purpose of transporting an individual. And when I think about that, I think, you know, this person has just given up and they're just settling into decline. They have accepted the fact that their life is going to go nowhere and they're not putting their foot on the gas in any way, shape, or form. They're just simply sitting there. And then there are others, if we can continue with this analogy, imagine there are others who are experiencing something quite different. It's like a frightening ride of an out of control life. I mean, the car is just running away, completely out of control, heading quickly toward disaster with no thought of consequences to come. As a Christian woman, we know that neither one of these scenarios are God's plan for us. I know that there have been times in my life that God has shown me his amazing grace when I was, you know, headed for the cliff and he grabs the wheel to keep me from going over. But most of the time, Jesus requires me to drive. He refuses to do what he has made me to do, and that's drive my life. Jesus is definitely going to help you to take the wheel. But you're the one that's in the driver's seat. You have to apply the brakes when necessary. You have to press the gas pedal when necessary. He's not going to do for you what you can do for yourself. A very, very well-known passage of scripture in Jeremiah 29:11 says, his plans are good and they're not evil. His plans for us are to give us a future and a hope. But that plan does not happen without our participation. We don't get to just climb into the passenger side of our lives, sit back, relax, and enjoy the journey. No, there is a requirement here that we get in the driver's seat and we make some decisions and we go forward. We are driving and God is instructing. It's like driver's ed, sis. Just imagine that. It's like we're in the driver's seat and the Lord's sitting next to us. It's driver's ed. You listen to him while you drive. And if you get off track, he's going to help you find your way back. If you need to slow down, he's going to remind you to slow down. But we have to be listening to him. And we have to remember we are in the driver's seat. We don't just get to just sit back and relax. I had to reach the place where I realized that I had been given the option to prayerfully take control of my life. I was in charge. Jesus is the teacher, the helper, the one who gives me direction and encouragement, but he wasn't going to do for me what I could do for myself. He wasn't going to drive my life. Proverbs 16:9 says that a person will make their plans, but God directs their steps. So we have to do some things here. We have to make our plans. We have to make some decisions. But you know what? Here's the great thing. God is going to be in the front seat with us, helping us and saying to us, slow down, speed up, go here, go there, if we are listening. I don't want my life to sit in a field and deteriorate. And I certainly don't want to drive my life without thought of the future and run right off of a cliff that I can't recover from either. I want to live my life with purpose. I want to be successful And I believe that you do too. Tommy Newberry defines success as the deliberate, measurable pursuit of prayerfully chosen, written goals. I love that. I love that definition. The deliberate, measurable pursuit of prayerfully chosen, written goals. We have to become deliberate. We get in the driver's seat and we need a specific plan of action. I've been studying the Proverbs 31 woman. I've just been going through and digging out of that passage everything I can about this Proverbs 31 woman. And it says that she opens her hand and gives. She lives in abundance, like she has something to give. And if we're just sitting and not, and we're just letting life happen and we're not making progress, we're going to run out of anything to give. I want to be a woman who opens my hand and gives. I want to live in abundance like Jesus said we can live. It also says in that same passage in verse 17, it says that she is strong in her spirit, her mind, and her body. And isn't that what every good father would want for his daughter? That is what God has planned for us, to be strong in our spirit, our mind, our body, to be a person who has something to give. This is what God has planned for us, but we are in the driver's seat. We cannot fall asleep here and be lazy. We need to get into action. It's the person who's in action that's in control. And that we don't want to be caught dreaming with ketchup in our hand, right? So if you're procrastinating, think about this. If you're procrastinating, it's probably not because you're lazy. It's more than likely because you're overwhelmed. But when you get a good, clear plan, it will help you break out of the overwhelm and get into action. I know this because I have been terrible in the past at achieving goals. Just absolutely awful. I was really good at setting them. I just couldn't ever cross the finish line. And it caused me to just kind of shrink back and just stop setting goals because I lost all confidence that I could achieve anything. Why would I set a goal if I couldn't achieve anything? But as I've gone through this process and asked the Lord to show me, teach me about this, help me to fall in love with the idea of goal setting, help me to understand how to effectively do this. So what I've learned is that most people who fail at goals, like I was failing, just don't know how to do it. Like me, they have a desire for change, but they get lost in this process. So when I understood how simple this could be by just asking and answering five simple questions, it was like someone turned the light on. I could actually see, oh my goodness, this is how you do it. And the questions are so simple. They're what, why, how, where, and when. Take some time alone in a quiet place with a notebook and a pen to answer these questions. What, why, how, where, and when. So let's go over them. So what do you want to improve? Why do you want to improve it? How will you improve? In other words, what actions are you going to take? Where will those actions take place? And when will these actions take place? What, why, how, where, and when? So this is what I encourage you to do, is just take a sheet of paper and write out 10 things you would love to have improve in the next 12 months. And write them out in the present tense. Pretend that it's like, it's happening. Okay, it's already happened. I earn. I weigh. I own. I give. Whatever it is, write 10 things down that you would like to improve in the next 12 months. And then, looking at the list, find the one statement that, if you realized it, would have the most positive impact in your life. Prayerfully ask God to put a blinky light on it. Like, just show me, Lord, which one of these do you want me to focus on? And choose that one Don't choose more than one. Just choose one thing for right now, one thing to focus on. And keep this in mind, that what you want to improve has to be in your control. This isn't about changing someone else, making someone else do something or feel something or whatever. It's not about changing someone else. It has to be about you, okay? Something you're in control of. Changing someone else is just manipulation, and we don't do that. Like, you can't drive two cars at one time. We'll go back to the car analogy. You can't drive two cars at one time. God gave you your life, your car. You drive your car. And so make sure that plan for improvement is under your control, okay? So you're answering that question, what is it that I want to do? What do I want to change? What? That's the first question you answer. And if you've never been a goal setter, don't be ashamed to start small. Like, if the Lord just puts the blinky light on, get up earlier and go to bed earlier. Like, if he's just trying to help you improve your sleep, or you know your sleep habits are really bad and you just simply want to get up earlier and go to bed earlier, don't be ashamed of that. Start small. You can learn how to be a big goal setter by learning to be a person who sets these small goals. So it could be just something about getting to bed earlier, getting up earlier, creating a skincare routine for morning and night. You can grow in your skills with goal setting by just simply starting with something that's meaningful, and small, seemingly small, but impactful, right? So don't be afraid to start with something that you think is silly and small. That's okay. Just start with that, okay? If that's what the Lord puts the blinky light on. So the next question, the second question is, why do I want to make this change? Like, you need to know your why for this. Drill down deep into your why. Like, why do you want to do this? Make sure that you're convinced that it's worth the effort, because if you aren't convinced, you're not going to stick with it. Your why will act as an anchor, but it has to be convincing. And I've seen some people set goals, like to have a skincare routine, for example, and their why was very meaningful, but it really didn't have anything to do with skincare. It had everything to do with, I want to learn to set a habit. So their goal was to learn to set a habit. Why? Because habits build your life. We are our habits. And so that why was just because I want to develop it, the ability to stay consistent and do something that I say I'm going to do. So your why is going to act as an anchor. And even with small and simple goals, keep in mind there are going to be tough days and challenges ahead. And even with a little goal of, like, getting up at a certain time and going to bed at a certain time and washing your face every night, that there are going to be challenges with that. And there will be days that it seems like, oh my gosh, I cannot get out of this bed when this alarm goes off. I just can't do it. And you just have to make yourself do it. And your why has to be strong enough so that it tethers you to the actions that you're going to need to take to get you where you want to go. That why needs to be the anchor for you. So taking action for something you aren't willing to make sacrifices for is just going to cause you stress, and you're going to give up. And listen, none of us need to give up on ourselves one more time, and none of us need more stress. When you make sacrifices for what you're passionate about and what you believe in, even if it's because I want to develop a habit, I want to grow in this area, when you're passionate about it, you'll go to bed blessed instead of stressed. You might be tired, but you're going to be blessed when you go to bed. You'll be patting yourself on the back saying, good job, girl. And so just keep in mind that when you ask, what do I want to change? What do I want to accomplish? And then follow up with, why do I want to accomplish this? Make sure that why is super, super convincing. All right, because it's going to tether you to that goal. All right, the third question is how? How am I going to accomplish this? Results come from actions that we take. So we need to know what we are going to do. And don't complicate it. Keep your actions, your steps simple and clear. Remember last week's episode where I talked about the skill of gaining clarity? You need clarity throughout the entire process. Keep it simple and straightforward. Don't make the process more difficult for you by complicating it. And I also want to warn you about the dramatic brain between your ears. Last summer, I decided I was going to walk 3 miles a day to improve my health. There was a time in my life when I was walking 3 miles a day and I felt really good and I just got away from it. And I wanted to get back to that. So I wanted to do these 3 miles a day and I wanted to make it happen without leaving my house. I didn't want to give up time by having to drive somewhere. So my brain became such a drama mama when I discovered that I was going to have to walk to my mailbox and back 12 times to reach my goal of 3 miles. I think it was 12 times. 12 seemed like such a large number for such a boring walk. I mean, it's literally down a gravel driveway and back, down a gravel driveway and back. It's super boring. We live out in the country and guys, there ain't nothing. I mean, it's just gravel walk. Well, my brain went into one of those very dramatic cramps, like, 12 times. This is so boring. I hate this. And I knew because I hated it so much, it was so boring for me that I wasn't going to do it if I didn't have a different plan. I needed a plan that my brain would buy into. So I had to simplify this and make it more enjoyable. So what I did was, I got out my little, pace tracker and, what is that called? It's called, I don't remember. There's an app that you have that can Pacer, I think it's Pacer. And I got out my little Pacer app and I hopped on my four-wheeler and I mapped out a 1 mile walking trail around our property. And I wanted to walk down by our fishing ponds. We have two of those. And I wanted to go through the hay meadow and I wanted to go down into the woods. And so I thought I'm going to make this a really pretty walk because we have a really pretty property and I enjoy all these different parts of it. So that's what I did. And once I had made it around on the four-wheeler, I knew my path and I was convinced that, you know, the pacer said it was a mile. I took our mower out and I cleared the way. Like I mowed me a walking trail and now I can walk that trail 3 times and get my 3 miles in. And my brain doesn't get like real dramatic when I think, oh, I just have 2 more laps. Oh, I just have 1 more lap. No, it's not a big deal. But that number 12 somehow really, really made me dramatic in my head. I don't know what was going on, but we do that. It's a silly brain. But now I have this beautiful walk with wildflowers in the spring and early summer. And, you know, there are always birds and oftentimes bunnies and butterflies. And I love getting out and doing my walk. So instead of those 12 boring laps, I now have these 3 beautiful laps that I can enjoy. So be aware of your drama brain. It can pop up and you're going to have a way to handle that and just recognize that it's just your brain being dramatic and then go into, you know, problem solving mode. Okay. So the last two questions are where and when will I take this action? So I had to decide it was my place of walking was going to be obviously my walking trail that I mowed. And when I was going to take the action was, it varies. In the summertime, it's early morning because it gets so hot here in Oklahoma. But in the fall and in the springtime, it can be kind of chilly. So it's nice to wait till a little bit later in the day when it's not quite so cold. So you may have to be flexible here when you decide where and when you're going to take your action, depending on your particular plan, because the answer can change, you know, with the events of the day, but try to be as consistent as possible. Your brain loves the comfort and safety of the familiar, and it won't fight you so much if you can keep it, you know, pretty consistent. People wanting to improve their nutrition, here's another example. It helps to have like specific eating times. Like say I'm going to have breakfast at 8 a.m., lunch at 11:30, snack at 3 and dinner at 6. And obviously, you know, it isn't always going to work like that because life can get messy. But the more you stick to a schedule, the better you get at taking the actions necessary to improve and reach your goal, because your brain doesn't have to think about it. It's like, oh, this is just what we do. It's what, you know, what I do. It's kind of like when you get up at 5 o'clock for work, and then on, you know, through the weekday, and then in this, on the weekends, you get up at 5 o'clock. Why? Because your body has been trained to get up at 5 o'clock. So your brain loves the familiar. So keep it simple and consistent if you possibly can. All right. So using the analogy of our lives are a car and we are the driver, just think of it. It helps if we can grease the wheels, right? By keeping our strategy simple and consistent. Keep everything running like a smooth, you know, smooth running machine kind of a deal. So results come from your actions. Let's make that, make our ability to get into action as easy as possible. Okay, this has been a longer episode than most. I had a little rule for myself that 20 was plenty. Because I think about you guys being such busy people and all the things you're doing. And I wanted you to be able to hear the podcast episode in 20 minutes. But this had took a little bit longer to get through these. But those questions are great questions to get you moving in the right direction. You know, what do I want to improve? Why do I want to improve it? How will I improve? What, in other words, what actions are you going to take? And where will those actions take place? And then get it scheduled. Like, when am I going to do this? What time of the day specifically am I going to block time to make this happen? All right, girls. So if you have an area of your life that needs improvement, but you need a little help getting there, I would be so honored to walk the journey with you as your coach. I do have a couple of client spots that have opened up. Send me an email. The email is in the show notes here. And let's visit and let's see if we're a good fit to work together. I would love and be honored to walk the journey with you. I love you, sis, and I believe in you. And I want you to get into action and refuse to settle for less than your full potential. We'll talk to you again soon.
If you've enjoyed our time together today, please don't keep it to yourself. Spread the love and share the episode with a friend who could use a boost of inspiration, some revelation. That would be awesome. Also, request to join our free Facebook community. It's called Renewed and Radiant. You'll find the link in our show notes for this episode. We would love to have you join us. And one more thing, if you have found value in our conversation today, would you please take a moment and leave a review? Scroll all the way down on your device and click write a review. It's a little bitty spot way at the bottom. If you could leave a review, that would help me reach more ladies who need to join our community of faith-driven self-image warriors. Until next time, my friends, stay blessed, stay radiant, and always remember that your self-image is a masterpiece being revealed. I'll catch you in the next episode.